Let's get into what's been driving activity on the broader market scene today, with the JSE taking somewhat of a breather after consecutive sessions of all-time highs. Let's get into conversation now with Craig Pfeiffer from Absa Stockbrokers and Portfolio Management. Craig, thanks so much for joining us today. So while some risk on appetite emerged today, we certainly saw that evidenced in the rand and the bond market scene. The JSE relatively flat after the recent rally we've seen. Is that only to be expected?
Yes, well, we can't keep going up in a straight line. It's good news that we have seemed to have broken out now and look to be heading higher. It's really just a handful of stocks driving the market higher. But maybe just a bit of consolidation. I think there's a lot of underlying noise. The resources up yesterday but down today. So some advance, some decline. It's kind of messy. But overall, the big picture looks to be up, but maybe just a breather today.
Absolutely. You highlight the fact that it's a handful of stocks that have been responsible for the kind of upward momentum we've seen on the JSE. Talk us through that trend, because you've done some analysis when it comes to the gains that have been recorded by the All Share Index year to date and the counters that have been responsible for it.
Yes, we just had a look at five counters, nice pass. Obviously, it's up to about 18% weighting in the All Share Index these days. But if you look at NASPASS, Richemont, BHP Billiton, Anglo American, and then Mondi, those five stocks accounts for about 37% of the index's weighting, and those stocks accounted to the end of September, those 9 months, for around a return of 13%, which was more than the market's 12.6. Percent. So that tells you that the rest of the market actually declined overall.
Exactly, moved lower, but also illustrative of the fact of just how supportive that weaker rand has been, because it's those rand hedges that have been in focus for investors in particular,
right.
Where the weakness has been in support of, as I say, rand hedge counters, your resource plays today, keeping a lid on gains on those fronts, but providing support for retail stocks. They were the standout performers today. Would you be buying into that sector on the basis of the rand?
Not on the basis of the rand. I think the economy is still pretty much struggling. As you mentioned, the IMF's outlook for a 0.7% growth for this year. I think our own view is somewhere around 0.6. So the IMF really is coming back to the market. But the local economy, local demand, consumer confidence still seems to be, or it is, quite low. So we really probably would stay away from most retailers. I'll talk to my stock pick later, which is in the retailer space.
But well, let's get to it now.
Yeah, I'm having a look at Steinhoff Africa. Mm-hmm. It recently listed in September. It's had a good run. It's up 10-11% already. But I think just looking at the counter, it's got, I think, growth built in for the next 2 or 3 years locally. It is an African story, but I think the growth story for the next couple of years is going to be around rolling out more PEP and Ackerman stores. I think that's going to be the big driver of their growth going forward. I think that's kind of built in some earnings. A fair bit of it's priced into the market already, and there's no room for disappointment, as we've seen with some other stocks of late. But I think it is a good growth story. And post that PEP Ackermans, then there's more opportunity to grow the rest of the African business. They own already about 4,800 stores across Africa, and there's lots of potential still there. They own many, many brands. As I said, the focus PEP Ackermans, but there's opportunity still, I think, down the line in their other brand names, the Incredible Connections, the Hi-Fi Corps, and so on.
Okay, so that's what you've got on your radar screen. But if you're talking about built-in growth, let's take a look at Dis-Chem, because today it's traded higher, a much stronger growth being anticipated or coming through for the past 6 months to August, expected to be up as much as 39.5% earnings on that front. I mean, what are you making of the growth momentum we're seeing in Dis-Chem right now? Because it's really upped the pace of that growth.
Very much a positive surprise for the market. Also, only listed November last year. Very much anticipated listing and very well oversubscribed. I think retail investors got very little at the initial listing. But that is also a story of store rollouts and increasing their store footprint. They're looking to get up to, I think, 200 stores by 2023. They've already built a couple or rolled out a couple in this 2018 financial year, the first half. They're looking to do 21 stores this year, 20 next year. So I think the news today was that the earnings momentum seems to be a bit ahead of what everybody was thinking. And I think that's why the share's up today. But also looks to be a good growth story, and that store rollout over the next couple of years is what's going to is giving that built-in earnings growth.
Because, and in addition to that store rollout, I mean, we always joke about it, but they seem to have cottoned on to something in tricking consumers to buy what they didn't even think they needed before they stepped into a store as well. On the flip side of all of that, famous brands bucking the trend in the retail category today. Its shares falling as much as 17% at a point before ending the session about 11% softer. To levels last seen in 2014, I mean, it's flagged this drop of up to 63% drop in earnings for the first half. What's your view on Famous Brands? Because clearly it's made a bit of a misstep.
It's those darn English burgers. I think they have, over time, and they've been a market darling. They've been on a brand acquisition trail locally, and they've done extremely well out of that. Consolidating, vertical integration, all the right things, and that's grown their margins over time. And then stepping away a bit and also taking on more corporate stores as opposed to franchise operations in the UK. So it's an offshore territory, and it probably wasn't doing that well to start with. Time will tell how they can develop that, but the market's tough there. They lost, I think it was £872,000 there, which is quite a whack, and that's a big reason for this trading statement.
Well, it's come off its October high, falling 43% so far. I mean, would you use the opportunity to delve in?
I would just hang back still and wait and see. I think there's still going to be tough times for the UK consumer going forward. I think that's a wait and see story.
Okay, let's take a look at Santova, because having a better time of things over in the UK, even after currency translation saying it's expecting its earnings to rise 10 to 15%, 65% of its profit now comes from offshore operations, and with a focus specifically on the UK. What's your view on Santova?
Well, just looking at that trading update, I mean, there were a few things that were of interest. One is that the growth in the earnings was organic. Mm-hmm. You don't hear a lot of that these days in this very low growth environment. Logistics, again, a business that relies on activity and demand and economic engine to be turning over. So to be making money organically in logistics and offshore as well, in a tough environment, is a good story. 10 to 15% would take any day.
So, one to watch there as well. Let's leave it there. Craig, thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Of course, Craig Pfeiffer is with Absa Stockbrokers and Portfolio Management. Welcome back. Well, before the break, you heard how LVMH is triggering consumer appeal. But are other European retailers on trend too? Let's head to Bronwyn as she brings us our regular global markets report from the DW team standing by at the Frankfurt Stock Exchange. Bronwyn.
Thanks, Alicia. While you and I may talk about consumers under pressure here on home ground, it seems in other parts of the world that luxury goods purchases are on the rise, and this putting LVMH's shares back in fashion as they inch toward a near record high today. So for a closer look at what European traders have made of LVMH's third quarter numbers, and for a look at what else is making news headlines across the globe, let's cross to Janelle Dumoulin from Deutsche Welle, who's standing by at the Frankfurt Stock Exchange. Janelle, I'm not sure how many Louis Vuitton bags you have tucked away, but it seems demand for brands like those are on the rise again. LVMH's shares are up about 30% so far this year. What are traders on your end making of today's numbers? Do they see this as a sign that the sector as a whole is on the up and companies like LVMH are offering value?
Bronwyn, I'm afraid that I have fewer bags than I would like to have covering somewhere close to zero, but I may be missing out on a trend here. So that surge in LVMH's share price, of course, underlines the faith that traders have in the sector as a whole in an upswing in the luxury market, and the forecasts are definitely on their side. So for this year alone, the global personally luxury goods market is expected to grow by up to 4% to close to $260 billion, and that growth is mostly underpinned by a resurgence in Chinese consumer spending, both here, abroad and domestically, and the fact that consumers are starting to take more events that threaten tourism, say like terrorism, more in stride, and the fact that luxury brands themselves are starting to exercise realignment towards the tastes of millennials.
Well, while we work on boosting the profile of our cupboards back at home by adding some of those Louis Vuitton bags to our collections, company news aside, reports say that Britain could join the North American Free Trade Agreement if it doesn't manage to secure a post-Brexit deal with the European Union. How likely is this, and what benefits would Britain get from being part of NAFTA, as it seems that a post-Brexit deal with the EU would be first prize, right, Janelle?
A deal with the EU would definitely be the first priority, but letting slip that joining other trade blocs, existing trade blocs like the NAFTA, certainly strengthens the UK's negotiating hand here. And for the UK, it makes some sense, because in NAFTA, the conditions are more or less preset, and that would mean that Britain would be saved from having to make the sort of difficult negotiations that it's proven itself to just not be very good at. And at the same time, NAFTA is being reviewed anyway, so this might be a good time to introduce a new player if it had to. Now, domestically speaking, however, this could prove quite challenging for Britain, especially for those thinking that Britain should have more sovereignty, not less. Those clamoring for more sovereignty would have a problem with the fact that under NAFTA, foreign investors would be allowed to sue the government in case domestic policy gets in the way of those investments. So it's an interesting argument to have, but at the moment, basically what it communicates is that the UK could be serious about walking away from the EU without a deal.
And French civil servants went on strike today, protesting President Emmanuel Macron's plans to cut jobs and freeze pay, among other things. But this is part of his pro-business reform plans, because something needs to be done to reduce high employment and kickstart the economy.
That's right, but in a scenario where you have 5.4 million civil servants striking and around 130 protest marches organized across the country, you can be sure that this is hurting business. Now, the point of these strikes, of course, is to protest the cutting of 120,000 public sector jobs, reducing sick pay, as well as just generally reducing spending on the public sector. And we can see one example in the fact that French air traffic controllers are striking, and the aviation authorities in France have actually asked airlines to reduce about a third of their flights, and that's left about 100,000 travelers basically grounded in Europe. But most of the investors that I talk to, economists and French employees themselves, do see these as necessary pains in order to help overhaul France's labor market. This is a change that is sorely needed to help get France back to greater growth, and something that Macron would have expected.
Janelle, let's leave it there for today. Janelle Dumoulin is from Deutsche Welle, and that's a wrap of just some of your global news headlines. Elisha, it's back to you.
Thanks, Bronwyn, and that's a wrap from me for now. Straight after the break, it's the Rafi Review, and I'll see you again at 7 o'clock.
I'll talk to my stock pick later, which is in the retailer space.
But well, let's get to it now.
Yeah, I'm having a look at Steinhoff Africa. Mm-hmm. It recently listed in September. It's had a good run. It's up 10-11% already. But I think just looking at the counter, it's got, I think, growth built in for the next 2 or 3 years. Locally, it is an African story, but I think their growth story for the next couple of years is going to be around rolling out more PEP and Ackerman stores. I think that's going to be the big driver of their growth going forward. I think that's kind of built in some earnings. A fair bit of it's priced into the market already, and there's no room for disappointment, as we've seen with some other stocks of late. But I think it is a good growth story. And post that PEP Ackermans, then there's more opportunity to grow the rest of the African business. They own already about 4,800 mm-hmm. stores across Africa, and there's lots of potential still there. They own many, many brands, as I said, the focus PEP Ackermans, but there's opportunity still, I think, down the line in their other brand names, the Incredible Connections, okay. the Hi-Fi Corps and so on.